You know, sometimes we... We look at things from a natural standpoint and not realize from a biblical standpoint that there's a greater meaning. How many of you understand what I'm saying? We look at things from a natural standpoint, we see them from that perspective, but when you get into the Word of God, we see another perspective that we might not have looked at before. Over the years as pastoring, you know, and John can testify to it, over the years we've counseled a lot of people. We've seen a lot of families come and go. But we've seen a lot of families healed as well and remain. And we've seen some success, even though it looked like tragedy. Because God's perspective, if it's heeded to, can heal anything. No matter how bad it gets, God's Word works for families and for lives. Sometimes it can't work because one, or if not both, do not give heed to the principles of God's Word. But I got some good news for you. Because He is a Father, our Heavenly Father is a Father, He knows what's best for His family. Amen. And over the years, I've counseling people, many times I heard this statement that grieved my heart. Because I was raised without a dad, so I didn't know what a dad was really like. I had a father, and he'd visit us occasionally, but I was never raised as a father. And of course, the earlier parts of my life was not all that great, raising my own children, you know. And I never had a father figurehead, so to speak. But as I was growing up, I never got in touch with the reality of how to identify a father figure. You know, the only thing that I remember about my father, if he had any figure at all in my life, is that he looked like a mailbox. That might seem funny to you, but I couldn't hardly wait to go to the mailbox and find money in it so we could eat. We were raised on welfare. Finally, my mother had to turn to welfare. But we still always looked to the mailbox as a means of our hope that money would be there for us. And so over the years, I got kind of bitter over that until I got saved and I looked at things a whole different perspective. And then I got to know my real father, and then I found out that he would have been a neat guy to be with. You know, my wife can even testify. My dad was a neat guy. Yeah, he was. And towards the end of his life, we were together one day in a car, and it was really strange. He just shared his heart with me, and I didn't know how to handle that. I didn't really know what to say to him, you know. But it seemed like all those things I felt in my heart just didn't matter anymore. And, of course, my dad had died shortly after that. It was his last visit with with all of us here, and we had what we call a family reunion, and we went there, and we were with my mom, my dad. Mostly my mom didn't want to be there, but with my stepmom and my real dad, we were there. And so I didn't know what a father figurehead was really all about. And in counseling, I don't know how many times, on many occasions, I had people say, well, Pastor, I don't know what having a father would be like, whether it was a man or a woman. I can remember that. I don't know how to relate to a father figurehead. And you know something today, if you hadn't noticed it, did you know that more and more children are being raised without a complete family? Have you noticed that? And so my heart really goes out to those who do not have a family that's together, so that the example of the father could give an impression in the children's lives. I think that's the greatest concern that I have for broken homes, is that the children suffer because they don't have both parties that are examples. You know, I'd rather see a family that's going through hell, I'd rather see them stop, and rather than take the division for the sake of children, make it work for the sake of children. Because that's Paul's discernment. You know, but it means a giving of yourself. But not all things can be reconciled, because one or the other, if not both parties, have a lot of lacerations in their heart, you know, because of history. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And your heart goes out and you say, I wish they would just put their weapons down long enough to let God work in their heart to bring them both back together, because the children need both parents in home living together for that example. It was a part that I missed in my life that I never had. And I know that that's an issue that keeps cropping up continually. You know, yesterday I decided to, you know, I was thinking about my message, and I decided to take little Tristan for a walk, because he likes to go for walks with me. And I thank God he has a father now, Joe. And he has a dad. I wanted Rebecca to marry as quick as she could for the sake of her children, you know, because kids need both people. Sometimes it's not always the real dad or the real mom, but families, there needs to be a unit for your children. Are you following what I'm saying? And that testimony about John McMain's coming into his boys' lives, what a blessing that is, you know? To take a stepfather and have respect for him. That says a lot for John, you know. But when I was walking through the trails with little Tristan, he said he wanted to lead, and it was all the trails that I pray on, you know, so I know the area real well. And so Tristan would stop every once in a while, and he says, Dad, he calls me Papa, he doesn't call me Dad. He said, Papa, are we going in the right direction? I said, yes, we are. And he says, okay, I'm leading now. And I said, yes, you are. And so we kept walking through the trails, and I'd make a suggestion. Let's go down this trail. And he says, where's that going? And I says, well, let's go down the trail and find out. I knew right where the trail would go, you know. But I'm falling on and looking at that little guy. And I got to thinking to myself, that little soul is so precious. It's worth giving yourself for. Amen. It's worth giving your life for. And hatred and strife and division, it can be so blinding to all of us. But when you look at little people's lives, like little Tristan, little Kylie Ray, I'm just using them as an example because I relate to them so well. Boy, how important it is to see a healing come into a family at all costs. Matter of fact, Paul's discernment was predicated on the basis that if the home could just be sanctified, if one party rejects God and the other party accepts, if both parties would just agree in the sanctification of the home for the sake of the children, you know? And you know what I've learned as a grandpa, now that I'm a grandpa? I learned that my days being an example for children are not over. Have you ever thought about that? Do you know that every day speaks of what you are to kids? You know, I love your kids. And I watch them grow, you know, as a father of the church, you know. And every time one of those little kids run up to me and grab me and say, Pastor, I love you, little Jordan, you know, all these kids, that when you're a pastor, you see life so differently, because your life is not your own. Your life is for the sake of all of these, including the children of this church. And I've learned something, fathers, I've learned something, that your life will always speak an example regardless of your words. Your faithfulness is that you're there. That's the example. That's the example that your kids will always learn, that you're there regardless. You know, and I got to thinking about some pastors I know that have so violated the body of Christ, even what they've given them so, and how selfish to be in your little world. And so contained in your little world that you can't think beyond your own little world for the sake of giving yourself for the entire body of Christ. It's the same principle that each one of you as fathers are faced with. But listen, it isn't just your own home neither, but your example is also to those whose lives you touch daily. You know. And I'm not trying to be a downer on what was already said and done, but for us as fathers, we need to take a look at the strong fact that we are examples. Regardless of what we say, regardless of what happens to us, we're the examples. That we speak into people's lives, and especially little kids. We speak into our wives' lives. We speak into the ones we're married to. And sometimes we're not effective in that way. But I'll tell you what. If I had anything to say to any men today, and anything to say to women today, is I want to encourage you to be the example of loving God. Loving your Heavenly Father with your whole mind, your whole soul, everything within you. Because that's the example that will reflect back into your children's lives. And above all, respect authority. Respect authority. Because your children will learn disobedience to authority if it's in you. But if it's not in you, they'll learn how to obey authority. I'm not talking about just church authority. I'm talking about any form of authority that God has ordained. Be very careful in that area of example, because that'll make or break the lives of people. Amen. You know, Abraham, he was really a wonderful person, a wonderful man. And the Bible explains very clearly why God chose Abraham to be the father of many nations. Why he chose him. Because Abraham was a father example. Abraham was a father example. And that's why I believe God chose him. But before we look at the verse why God chose him, I want us to notice a verse here at verse 20. And I want us to take another look at the perspective of the weaker vessel under their husband. And Adam gave names to all cattle. This is Genesis chapter 2, verse 20. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmate for him. Now this verse is very interesting. The word "not found" and "helpmate for him" is very misleading. I'm going to translate this over into the Hebrew a little bit and gives you a little clearer understanding about the role that Eve was to play as she was brought into Abraham's life. Adam's life. I'm sorry, not Abraham's life, but Adam's life. It says, "But for Adam there was not found a helpmate for him." Actually, in the Hebrew, it's "nothing has come forth as a counterpart to surround and to protect and to aid him." I'll say that again. "Nothing has come forth as a counterpart to surround, protect, and aid him." And so originally, a woman's role for a husband, we look at her as the weaker vessel, you know, because you always hear that term, they're the weaker vessel. But really, the role that a woman plays is not predicated on the fact that she's a weaker vessel, but she's the one whom God has fashioned through the first family unit to aid, to surround, to aid, and to protect Adam. Isn't that wonderful? Now you're probably saying, now wait a minute. How in the world, the woman being the weaker vessel, is supposed to protect Adam? You know, ladies, your role to support your man is really the predominant role, in essence. That if your husband is not what he's supposed to be, you have a position with God to where God will work in his life to make him the person that he should be. But a lot of times women don't know how to redound to that. They don't know how to fire back when they've got someone in their life that supposedly doesn't really line up as a godly man. Well, I'm just going to be bold to say that Ladies, it's worth the fight for your man. It's worth the fight. I know it can be hectic at times, but it's worth the fight. Amen. Because rewards can be have great dividends. Amen. Amen, Sue. Amen. Now let's turn over to Genesis 18. And let's take a look at why God chose Abraham to be the father of many nations. What a privilege. How would you guys like to stand out as having the privilege of heading up a whole new race? You know, I'll never forget when Gary Carpenter was here, he made a statement. He said Abraham wanted a family. He wanted children. Amen? He wanted a family. He wanted children. God wanted a family. God wanted children. So what he did is he approached a guy that had a desire for family so he could hook up and say, I want family too. How about you and I hooking up together? And the reason that he approached Abraham, he says in verse 19 of Genesis 18, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Notice that the Lord may bring upon Abraham the thing which he has spoken unto him. That means God, if he was going to approach somebody and it was going to work, predicated on behalf of the responder, which would be Abraham, he had to find somebody that had the right heart that would make it work. And he was a man who would command his family. Now, the word command is very interesting. In Hebrew, it means to appoint and set in order. He found the right man to raise the child of promise. He found the right example for his children. Amen? He found the right example. Now, I'm not going to keep you very long. But you know, so many times we get into the Bible and we try to figure out who's in control. Especially when a marriage begins to disintegrate. How many of you have been in that mentality, you know, who's in control? You know? Well, as far as the kingdom of God's concerned, it's neither male nor female. Because the nature of God that was planted in you knows no gender. It is His nature, God's nature in you. Amen? And when God's nature comes forth, both parties will play their prospective roles automatically. They'll just do what they're supposed to do automatically. But when they lose contact with God, then they'll lose contact with the ability to make things work. Amen? Yeah. And we know throughout Bible history, all the men and all the women that did not want to hear to the counsel of God, nothing ever worked for them. It always disintegrated. Always disintegrated. We could go story after story after story. Well, I've got news for you, men and women. How you respond to God is the outcome that your family will be. How you respond to God is how the outcome of your family will be. That is the most important thing, is how you give yourself to your Father, your Lord. You know, again, like I said, I think here a few Wednesdays ago, I made this statement that God has a destiny for every one of us, and the destiny is to be conformed into His image. It is not a destiny to go to heaven. There are Christians that can't wait to get to heaven. Your destiny is not a place. It's a person. Your destiny is not to occupy some third planet, because your destiny is to be example to live out and be conformed to God, because here's where men's souls need to be saved. And I got news for you. Your child, your own family, is the first focus for salvation for your family eternity if you're going to reach souls. Amen. And that's a proven fact. If you can't win your family, you're not going to do a very good job of winning others to the Lord. Because your example speaks louder than words. Say. Women, there's a place of strength you can get regardless of where a man's at. That if you would hang, you would get in tight with God. We call it tight. That's what Tristan tells me. You got to be tight, you know. Okay, we got to be tight. There's a place you women can get where you'll be tight with God. God will vindicate you every time. He'll work on your behalf. Women sometimes feel so helpless and so alone. But I'll tell you what, I like what Dave said. You know, those of you that seemingly don't have a father, seemingly don't have a husband, hey, I'll tell you what, you do got one. You got God. And guess what? God's after your husband, too. He's not just after to preserve you. He's after to preserve that man, too. Because God's a lover. He doesn't quit. I mean, he's a fighter. I mean, you want to find out what God's like? Get into battle with him. He's going to win for you. Amen. He's going to win for you. Amen. Because the battle's the Lord and not yours. That's why a lot of times when you get into Proverbs, you find women, they don't take some of these Proverbs. It says that more women destroy their ability to preserve the relationship with the husband by thinking their words will have a greater effect than God's. The Bible is very clear in Proverbs that when women speak continually in contentions, the effect of it plays like poison on a mind, on the minds of the hearer. And you know, a lot of times when you get into situations where it seems like the man of the home is at his worst, that's when you have to be quiet and be at your best. But some women pick up more words. But Proverbs has a whole lot to say. I'm not going to get into some of them. I could quote them right here because I got them written down. I decided not to after such a good beginning here. I don't want to destroy this thing. You know what I mean? So let's go on over to Proverbs or 1 Peter chapter 3. And let's speak there for just a moment and then I'm going to let you go. Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 3. Hallelujah. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read this out of the New Living Bible. Because I read it. Man, I like it. Is that all right with you guys? Just listen to me. This is out of the New Living Bible, okay? In 1 Peter 3, starting at verse 1, in the same way you wives must accept the authority of your husbands, even those who refuse to accept the good news. Actually, it says, who are actually disobey the word of God. And when I looked up the meaning of that word disobey, it literally means both ways. It could be one who just simply refuses to obey counsel or one who chooses to disbelieve. Are you following me? He might be saved, he might not. Notice this. Who refuse to accept the good news, your godly lives will speak to them better than any words. They will be won over by watching your pure godly behavior. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty that depends on fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should be known for the beauty that comes from within. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. That is the way the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They trusted God and accepted the authority of their husbands. For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband Abraham when she called her master. You are her daughter when you do what is right without fear of what your husband might do. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat her with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Oh, hallelujah. If you don't treat her as you should, your prayers will not be heard. If you don't treat her as you should, your prayers will not be heard. You know, and again, you know, you have like over there, Paul's discernment. What a beautiful thing when I got a hold of Paul's discernment, because Paul's discernment was how to look to remarry. That's where his focus was. And it's all predicated on the fact of the male and female being plugged into God. That was his whole discernment. Every stroke of the brush. He started off in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, I think it is, get control of your appetites. Because bad appetite control will result in wrong cohesiveness, relationship. Somebody said, I'm waiting for God to bring the right male or the right female along. God's saying, hey, get into spiritual discernment and you'll find them. Yeah. You know. And so Paul's discernment is predicated basically on, and even if your mate or the one that you desire to marry is not focused in on God, refrain from hooking up with them in a marital relationship until they get that in their craw. They get it where God, seeking God first, and then take a look at going and hooking up with them. Are you following me? You don't want to get into a situation where you marry somebody and next thing you know, they don't want church. Well, we've seen that a lot of times. You know, and it's sad because God can make anything work if you let Him. Amen? And so, I just want to encourage you, just like the skit here. Do you know that was the second wife to Abraham after Sarah died, talking to Rebecca? Do you know Rebecca? Do you know how she was selected? In typology, what Abraham did is he went to his master servant and he chose a man who ruled over his house, all his goods. And so he turned to him because he was a man of wisdom. And he said, I want you to go get a woman for my son, Isaac. And if you haven't read the story, do you know that when that servant actually went to retrieve her, I forgot what city it was in. What city was that? Well, it doesn't matter. But when he went to the city, he went to the well. And did you know the discernment? How many can remember the story, the discernment that the servant was going to look at to select the woman for Isaac? The water? How the water was administered. Remember that? Here's how the water was administered. He was going to look for a woman that when she put her water, her pot, into the water, put it on her head, and she would turn to him. The first thing Rebecca did, my daughter, she took the pot off her head and gave him to drink. Then you know what she did? She went and gave his camels all a drink. She was concerned not only for him, but for his journey. And that was a sign, this is the one. Why? Because the woman's position is to support that man. Well, you can still support that man, praise God, with everything that's within you. Even though they seemingly don't obey the word, hey, I got news for you. You're in a position with God to where God will turn his heart towards you the same way. And vice versa. Men, if you have a woman that seemingly doesn't obey the word of God, use the same principle here because he ends it off with that. Amen. Now, let me share something to you about strength. You know, my wife's the weaker vessel. The Bible declares that, amen? In closing, the Bible declares the woman is a weaker vessel, but how is she going to support and aid and protect her man? I'm going to tell you, men, strength doesn't always come in muscle. Amen? Strength comes other ways. To give you an analogy, when I started karate, the martial arts, I began to discover something real fast. Muscle or size didn't mean anything. You know where our strength was? In our ability to use their strength against them. Are you following me? I could get into a position in such a way that no matter how strong they were or how big they were, if I knew how to keep my mind focused and pay attention to all the conditioning that I had, I could win that fight by simply how I would move and how I would use leverage. Are you following me? And do things that seemingly in the natural would hardly be anything. Donnie, you're involved in karate, aren't you? I meant you do instructing. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Just like judo, it's a leverage of weight. So strength is muscle, although it does help. But it's how you use your leverage. And women, you have a strong leverage with your man. It's called God. And you have to stay on top of that because men and women both alike have a tendency to cut back on God and get complacent in the things of the Lord. But I'll tell you what, if you maintain good fellowship with God, you'll maintain good relationship in family units because your family needs you. You are the leader of your home. Amen.
You're the leader of those kids. You're the leader of your husband. You're the leader of your wife. Hallelujah. It's not a who's in control game. That's not what life's about on a husband and wife basis. I know what you're probably thinking. Well, what about 1 Corinthians chapter 11? He talks about there, you know, that a woman ought to submit and be in subject. Hey, I'll tell you what. You can get a woman to submit to anything as long as they can honor you. If my wife, when I got her good side, she calls me Tom. When I get on her bad side, she calls me Pastor Butler. You can win the heart of each other by knowing how to use your strengths. And it's not always muscle. And I got good news for you, ladies. Men have a tendency to lose vision quickly. Men are babies. I are one. Are you following me? Men have a tendency to lose vision quickly. Women, when they get something in them, they don't lose that quickly. Because women are emotional. Therefore, their vision can go very deep. Are you following me? Hey, women don't forget things too easily. In a battle, they're the logzamai. They remember everything in full detail. And you hadn't even remembered it. Men are just, gee, when did I do that? I don't remember that. Well, it was an hour and a half ago. It was? An hour and a half, we done forgot. They'll have to carry that thing like an elephant, man. No fighting. No fighting there. But isn't that true? Well, I got news for you. There's where our strengths come in. We can learn to be sensitive and compassionate to each other so that we can work things through and work things out. Amen. Some people live in their own little world that this is the way it's got to be, and I could care less about anybody else, and you cannot succeed that way. You can't succeed that way with your children. You can't succeed that way with your mate. You got to be strong in the grace. I wish I had time to go into 1 Corinthians 11, but we've got to stop now. But people use that to control the female with, and that's not what it was meant to be. It was talking about what looks graceful in functioning together. It looks graceful when the husband's honored and put where he belongs. It looks graceful when the woman's supportive of that. Amen? That's a graceful way to live, not a controlling way. It's a graceful way. Praise God. Okay, everybody stand up. Hallelujah. Man, I thought it was good today hearing those testimonies. Amen. Thinking of certain men in my body. What a blessing they are. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, as we now close this service, you know, Father, I love you so much for the men of this church. Father, I'm so blessed by the men here. Father, these men I've come to know, even in their weaknesses and shortcomings, that don't mean a hill of beans to me. Because, Father, they're your men. Hallelujah. And if they've got any faults, you know how to clean them up. You know how to work with them. Because they're your men. And Father, I'll respect that position in them more and more. Watch my mouth more and more, what I say and where I walk with them. Help me in this, Lord, because your men need each other. They need the strength of each other more than ever. We need to become tender-hearted with each other and understanding more. So, Father, bless these men today. Bless them abundantly. May their wives just look at them and googly eyes and kiss them. And Father, let their imaginations run wild. Hallelujah. And just love on each other today, Father. And may their children be blessed today as they go and maybe have picnics together, whatever they're going to do. And Father, may they just have a good time. And Father, I hope I didn't say anything today that would bring an argument or a fist fight. I just believe, dear Heavenly Father, that they're just going to take heed to what was said and even reminisce on the men that were honored here today in definite glory. Hallelujah. Especially when their own kids speak well of them. And Father, may they just have a wonderful and blessed day. And with that, praise God. Daddies and mamas and kids, you're dismissed. Praise God. You guys have a good day. Have a good day. Hallelujah.